Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for listeners?
Let's give them a 50% off of any of our VRTrader.com newsletters with the last year's promo code of 2022 half off 2022 HALFOFF, just as it sounds, 2022 half off, and enter it in the promo code slot when you order one of our newsletters or multiple newsletters if you like for any time frame, you know, whether you want to do it for a month, quarterly, or annually.
And a disclaimer:
I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I am a newsletter publisher.
The Fed didn't hike rates. Is this a good sign for the stock markets?
Well, I think the markets are being, you know, aggressively manipulated. You know, Ronald Reagan signed in the Working Group of Financial Markets executive order back in 1988, and the fun name for it is the Plunge Protection Team. And, you know, the Fed doesn't talk about it, the Treasury doesn't talk about it, but it's there. As you can read the executive order, when it was created, it came after the crash in 1987, so government decided, and we already see this in Japan, where the Japanese government owns, I believe, like 80% of the stocks and ETFs, so there is precedent for it. I don't know if Japan started it before the U.S., so what's happening is, in my opinion, is that, you know, there's a lot of bad news out there. I mean, really bad news. I mean, incompetent people in the government, fraud in the government, Trump being indicted, Mendeleev from Russia threatening to shut down internet in the West if the conflict heats up anymore. You know, you've got in inflation still there, interest rates up, you know, upticking, even though they didn't uptick yesterday. They're threatening another quarter to half a point coming. There's credit issues, which are just getting worse and worse. I'm, you know, personally know of situations where, you know, you have commercial real estate, and they got caught big time with the sudden surge in interest rates, and they will be unable to finance or refinance properties, which means a lot of stuff's going to come crashing down in a big way in the months ahead. I mean, businesses, you know, having trouble financing as well because they have to refinance debt from zero all the way up to, 5% is the official rate. Officially, there's some rates being charged as high as 10%, sometimes 2-3 percentage points above prime. So this is going to kill a lot of businesses. A lot of stuff is really, really taking it on the chin. So, you know, the market's being engineered to make it look okay. It's the old expression, we're climbing the wall of worry, you know, but I think it's being pushed by the government itself. It's the only explanation for it. It doesn't make any fundamental sense other than we have an election next year. And, you know, things could be really bad, you know, in your business, but if your stock portfolio is going up, or if you think there's a crook in the White House, if your stock portfolio is going up and you're making money on your Apple computer, maybe you don't care if there's a crook in the White House. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of, things going on here to cover up the reality of things that are happening. We're not even talking about, you know, China, which is, by the way, having its own problems, too. You know, we worry about Taiwan and so forth, but economically, China's having a lot of trouble right now. Europe seems to be doing a little bit better. It's like lipstick on the pig. You know, they're just trying to make things look better. And with an election next year, and, you know, politics is already starting big down here in the U.S., You know, yeah, I mean, they were due for a shakeout. Generally, we get one in the fourth quarter, you know, but like down into September, October, then up again. We seem to be, my models indicated that we would peak out if we're going to have a rally early summer and then head down into the fall. So maybe that still will happen. But I think the idea is to make things look good for the election, and a lot of shenanigans is occurring. So what the Fed says, what Jay Powell says is, you know, I mean, there's even some commentary now. There was some question on the air or in the press about, I heard it on Fox Business News today, one of the analysts questioning the Federal Reserve, saying, you know, they've been around since 1913 and caused as much damage as positive events, and mostly damage, and isn't it about time we get rid of this institution? So it was actually some of the things that I've been pounding the table about for decades, you know, people are starting to talk about. You know, we know how incompetent they are, you know, interest rates are zero for 10 years and they jump to 5% in 6 or 8 months, and, you know, they don't know what they're doing, and they're causing, not to mention, you know, personal damage. You've got institutions, banking crisis going on, the bank in Silicon Valley Bank, of course, is the most notable one, but a lot more still could be coming. You know, portfolio managers got caught with their pants down. The Fed and the Treasury didn't do a good job of checking the portfolios, and the, you know, there's supervision of a lot of the banks, so there could be more failures into the end of the year. So I guess they got to start pumping money into the system, jack the stock market up, and again, I'm using the expression again, putting lipstick on the pig and making things look better than they are. And then also, they, you know, I'm ranting a little bit here, but, you know, all the statistics, I don't believe any government statistics, never have, never will. They're played with. There's a lot of alternate research people you can refer to that, you know, point at what the real numbers are, but like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, is like, you know, is totally mostly false, and they have to revise. I actually call them the Bureau of Lying Statistics, BLS, and a lot of people quote, you know, what's going on with labor numbers. They came out with false numbers earlier in the year. They had to correct it. So you can't believe any government statistics anyway. So when they say the Federal Reserve is relying on data to make their next decision, the data is corrupt. So, and the institution is corrupt in the way it's been managed. So, you know, basically, it was a manipulation. Somebody made a lot of money on this, and that's what it's all about. They knew they were going to do certain things. People got short the market, then they got long the market, knowing that the plunge protection team was going to come in. And it's all a question of chasing the dollar and making some money here. So that's fine. I mean, that's what we like to do. We like to make money, and we can follow the market and trade it. That's cool. But, you know, what's actually happening, you know, versus the stories that you hear and read is really doesn't compute.
China just lowered their 1-year loan rate by 1%. Does that tell us what's going on there and with the worldwide economy?
Well, we know China's got the problems. They got a real estate problem big time. You know, we're talking about one burgeoning here in the U.S. with the commercial real estate and the inability to finance properties and the collapses. There's already, I know of situations, just personally, the people and companies that I've had contact with that, you know, losing their assets, can't find, refinancing. If they do, they can't afford to maintain the properties. The costs are too high. End up, going to the banks. So yeah, you know, look at Japan. Japan's got the zero interest rates. I mean, they're the model for keeping rates low. I mean, Europe was for many years, but Japan is still way ahead of the game and probably is going to stay that way. So China does have economic problems. I mean, they have issues. I mean, it wasn't just COVID. It was supply chain issues. It was overbuilding. So it makes a lot of sense that they would lower rates to try to stimulate activity there, and I think that's what's going to happen here. You know, Jay Powell can jump around all he wants about trying to get inflation rate down to 2%. Meanwhile, you know, if they continue pushing hard enough, there's going to be more suffering, and probably the plan is already underway to lower rates, and if not lower rates, you know, pumps a lot of money into the economy and inflate the, you know, balance sheets of both the banks and the companies, and also get the stock market up to try to cover their stupidity. So, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff going on, a lot of volatility. So I would expect a strong market into the election next year, whether we have a nosedive into the fall. China is part and parcel to it, I suppose. We just have to sort of, you know, figure it out. I know some of the Chinese stocks start to bounce a little bit. Alibaba was one of them, and I think that's because of perhaps rates going down over there. So they lower the rates. It probably says Chinese stocks are a buy.
What's going on with gold and silver right now?
Well, it's mixed. The dollar is sort of trending sideways here the last few days. It has been, you know, pretty much going up. I'm still anticipating, you know, at some point it's going to break, you know, for a lot of the reasons that we discussed up to this point, you know, economic and political and manipulatory factors, and gold will take off. If dollar can get under $1 par, you know, it's, you know, was it 103, 104 now? I think that would stimulate a nice move in gold up to about 2,100, 2,200. But we got to watch the dollar index. That's been sort of the key here. And we do have like a triple top formation if you look at the charts in the gold. And if we can clear that, then probably a lot of buying will come in. So I think, you know, buy is coming here. You know, maybe one more shakeout is ahead first. You know, seasonally, you know, we're getting to the point where it should be a buy. And then the other factor I keep bringing up, I know it doesn't seem to make a lot of economic sense, but, you know, there's other people like the GATA.org group that I've known for 20 years documenting the suppression of gold prices by the government and by central banks. You know, some analysts say gold should be $20,000 an ounce already if it hadn't been manipulated and suppressed using the futures market and the banks lending, you know, gold that they don't have, and just all kinds of crazy things. You have to go to GATA.org and read their 20 years of research. So part of the parcel of gold is the manipulative forces that have been at work, also in the silver market, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, if we got a plunge protection team out there manipulating the stock market, and you've got the governments and central banks manipulating gold, you know, we don't have a level playing field, and it's tough making these calls, you know, if they're going to be intervening. So at the moment, I'm a cautious bull, and let's see if the dollar, you know, breaks, and that would certainly help that scenario. And, you know, you always got to keep your eyes and ears open for outlier events. You know, something out of the blue that people aren't expecting, you know, such as, you know, that asteroid that they talked about yesterday, which was actually multi-million miles away from the Earth, you know, which really wasn't a news story, but they said it was as big as the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, stories like that hit. But, of course, you did have stuff like the Turkish earthquakes, and you had the Mexican volcano, and, you know, real things that are happening that could change things quite dramatically. So, at the moment, cautious bull on gold. Let's see if the dollar can break that one level, and we'll go from there.
We're a week away, roughly, from the first day of summer. Does that affect the markets?
Yes. Well, you know, I've been writing about this for years. You know, I talk about the winter solstice, the summer solstice, the fall and spring equinox, and change points in the market along those time frames. And here we are, running into this summer solstice. Originally, you know, last year we hit a low in mid-June, just within 3-4 days ahead of the solstice. The solstice is still, you know, and I'm sorry, this is the equinox coming up on the 20th. So, you know, the market rallied here the last few days, and you could argue, well, it was coincided with a market peak this year, even though last year it coincided with a market low. So it does have some collaborating, coincidental, you know, cycles with the markets, and it's interesting. I would have predicted more of a low. We were looking good yesterday when after the Fed spoke, and the you know, Dow was dropping 300-400 points, and you know, I was saying, okay, this could be the beginning of the summer, you know, point jumping into play here, and then the market turned up today. So it's sort of mixed here, but definitely, over time, if you track the seasonal patterns, you'll see, you know, not to the day, but markets have this tendency to change direction around the seasonal pattern. So just interesting observational notes that I've made over the years. And, you know, some have been pretty spectacular in, you know, saying, hey, watch out for these cluster of dates that it could be a key low or key high in the market. So something you tie in with your fundamental and technical, you know, analysis, and just another piece of the puzzle.
What's going on the crypto front?
Well, you got Gary Gensler at the SEC and others, you know, trying to suppress the crypto market. There's a lawsuit now with Ripple, you know, which has been going on for years, that produces the XRP crypto. And I don't know, you know, the government is just, you know, out there, you know, just trying to flex its muscles, whereas you just stay out of the free markets. It seems like any time, you know, there's a opportunity somewhere. Of course, I don't think they could do anything with the Bitcoin, though Bitcoin has pulled back a little bit because I think the SEC has already officially recognized them as a commodity. So I don't think there'll be, you know, regulation there as much as they're talking about others. But, you know, when there's, you know, when you have the big collapse, as we saw last year, with, you know, the, my mind went blank, you know, with the scandal last year on the cryptos. You know, that gives the government a lot of excuse to jump in and try to regulate a market. I don't know if they'll be successful or not. I don't know if the Ripple suit's going to work out in their favor or not, which would help XRP. I'm not, you know, I'm definitely in the favor of cryptos because it's an alternate against, you know, the currency and the conventional banking system, which, you know, can be manipulated and, you know, we talk about a digital currency and all that nonsense. It's, what could I tell you? The government's out there trying to control it. Whether I don't think they'll ultimately be successful. I think they could try, but, you know, money's going to go where money feels it's safe. And if they feel it's safer in cryptos or in alternate currencies, there'll be a way around it at some point. I mean, who wants to trust currencies that decline in value over time and ultimately are represented by governments like our own government here in the U.S., which is bankrupt, essentially? And what does the dollar really represent? Nothing more than a bankrupt currency. So the idea of having an alternate way, medium of exchange, whether it's crypto, gold, real estate, sugar, copper, you know, I mean, anything that's physical away from what the government presents to you as viable, a viable medium of exchange, I think is wise. So we'll see if the government's going to be successful or not. I don't think they will be long term, and that's just because, you know, the power of free will is such that money will find a safe place. And we've seen many currencies collapse over the centuries, and unfortunately, it's happening to the biggest one, the dollar, over time here. I mean, look what the Federal Reserve has done since 1913. I think the dollar has lost about 97% of its value and buying power during that 110 years. So it doesn't look too good. So we got to look elsewhere. I would definitely keep an open mind to the crypto.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, on the geocosmic front, you have some interesting news for us.
Well, it just sort of, you know, came out today. You know, there's all these interesting stories. There was a, you know, whistleblower from the Pentagon that name is Grush, G-R-U-S-C-H. It's all over the various media. You know, it comes to me because I just get all the news here. But basically, you know, he's saying, as I've been saying for many, many years, and I have my own sources and insights and so forth, that, you know, basically, there's a task force retrieval program underway, has been for a long time, for non-human exotic vehicles. And, of course, that means alien craft. I've known for years that we've been retrieving alien exotic craft, reverse engineering it, started with Roswell, and I think it started in Nazi Germany when there was a crash in the Black Forest there, which has also been documented. So just interesting stuff. And apparently, in one of the articles said that the Vatican was involved in helping retrieve some of these artifacts going all the way back to Benito Mussolini, back to World War II, which rings a lot of bells for me with the Nazi correlation and stuff going way back then. So we have a underground, quiet task force that nobody really talks about, and it never comes out. If it does in congressional hearings, they aren't allowed to talk about it. It's been secretly funded and has really been beneficial to technology here on the planet. I mean, a lot of the things that we've enjoyed in terms of, technology and improvements since the late 1940s has come because of the reverse engineering of some of this craft. And some of it was done out at Area 51, but a lot of it was turned over to private companies so that you can't go in there under the Freedom of Information Act and pull out stuff if it's in the walls of some private entity that's been hired by the government to do this work. So it's just interesting. If you want to research David Grusch, G-R-S-C-H, you can see with interviews and some of the stuff coming out. But, they just don't give it any, major press. I mean, this is really the story of a lifetime. I mean, you can talk about the Fed and Taiwan and Ukraine and all this stuff all you want, but the fact that alien craft has been on the planet and has been being observed and used and studied, and we benefited from that. The thing is that some of the benefits we're not being told. I mean, some of the UAPs that's really UFOs that we're seeing are probably the reverse engineered craft, that whether it's I'm pretty sure some of it's extraterrestrial too, because they're around, they've been around for thousands of years. It's not a question of that. It's a question that a lot of that stuff could be super science type stuff, to the extent that we're already on Mars, we're already on the moon with a lunar base, all kinds of fun stuff. We may be at all the planets in the solar system and they're not telling us. So I mean, we have that kind of technology is coming from, non-human exotic vehicles that are not from this planet, then anything is possible. So Arthur C. Clarke would be really happy, all the great science fiction writers, because it's happening right in front of us, but it's not being talked about. What's being talked about is, woke, and what's being talked about is paying back those that suffered for slavery. They want to provide money to these people. We're talking about just all kinds of crazy things out there, including Joe Biden, who came out with the story I think it was in the last 48 hours. One of the sites that it came from was stupiddope.com, which is a good way of describing him, but there are other sites that have also put it out about his ambitious plan to build a railroad across the Indian Ocean. Literally, imagine a railroad like we have between France and Great Britain, stretching from the western continent all the way under the ocean to India. And he actually said this is a potential plan that he's contemplating or thinking about. So you have that kind of dopey stuff going on out there. Did get some press coverage, but the liberal press is going to subvert that a little bit, because they don't want people to know as much of a stupid dope that he really is, come out more than they need to. But this kind of fun stuff is happening. So we have a lot of planetary fun stuff happening here, and it makes watching the markets and watching politics that much more interesting.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's my pleasure always. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.